The Ford Motor Company this month celebrates its 100th birthday. In 1903, a young car racing star named Henry Ford launched his company, but it wasn't until 1908 that the company changed the world. Author and historian Douglas Brinkley explains how in a new book, Wheels for the World, which is a history of the first 100 years of Ford. Brinkley says there were inventions by other companies with life-altering impact, like John Deere's tractor in rural America or the Singer sewing machine in home life. But it was the Ford Motor Company's Model T, a light, tough car for the masses that transformed America and changed the course of history.
Following the October 1, 1908 introduction of the Model T, you start seeing America changing overnight. You get the first road atlas by Rand McNally. You get the first motel in San Luis Obispo. You have the first shopping center in Kansas City, the first parking garage in Detroit. America's never been the same. We've become addicted to gasoline, and automobiles have become an extension of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I want to get back to some of those main innovations of Ford, but first, one quick digression, because you mentioned a number of the things that have been revolutionized by the automobile, and I wanted to just comment on a couple more. One is rural life, and the other one is the sort of freedom of women in the society.
Well, freedom is a big word associated with the automobile. I mean, before Ford and the Model T, the average person you got around by horse and buggy or by train. The liberating effects of the Model T was that I can go anywhere in any direction at any time I want. The stories of the Model T as they were early promoted were often about women driving coast to coast. And these trial runs that Ford Motor would sponsor of always promoting women behind the wheel was very shrewd on Henry Ford's part. He was a suffragist. He saw women as the great consumers of America, because if the man was going to be working these 40 or 50 hour work weeks, that it gave the woman the time to do the shopping, to be the one who perhaps bought the Model T or the family car. And he won a lot of women over to his product by doing that.
Let's get back to the kind of innovation that Henry Ford spawned. His assembly line transformed the factory from a machine shop to a shop for unskilled labor, which was also a big change.
And that was the Highland Park factory where he started declaring, I'm going to make 1,000 cars a day. Highland Park was the vortex of the entire industrial world. People came from all over just to look at it. And one of the quirks of Henry Ford is that anybody could do a job if you had the right attitude. He often would pick a random person and say, okay, you're going to become a designer. You're going to become a tool person. The good side about this attitude of Mr. Ford showed him, for example, with people that were handicapped. Ford facilities had the first handicap ramps. He was very progressive in paying African Americans equal wages. He was a pacifist. Yet on the other side of all of that coin, you see somebody who's deeply anti-Semitic, somebody who loathes Wall Street and refuses to partake in the stock market, somebody who creates a sociological department to spy on his own workers. And fireable offenses included, if Mr. Ford found out you were cheating on your wife or that you were smoking cigarettes, boom, you would be gone.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this other great innovation, the $5 a day payment for Ford workers. The idea didn't begin with Henry Ford.
It's really James Cousins' idea, and in my book, he's one of the lieutenants of Henry Ford. Without James Cousins' insights into big business, Henry Ford would have failed. He convinces Henry Ford, A, it'll keep the workers at bay, B, it'll make you look good with workers, and these are people that you're trying to sell your cars to, so giving them a little extra money in their pockets, they're going to go and buy a Ford product.
Overnight, the streets around Ford's Highland Park plant filled with job seekers. The crowds became so large and unruly that despite freezing temperatures, Ford turned water hoses on the men to try to restore order. But workers would not be deterred. The promise of $5 a day, and unheard of sum for a day's labor, spawned a mass migration of African Americans from the South. But Ford went from being a hero of the working man to an enemy in little more than a decade, laying off workers when times got tough and brutally resisting the unionization of his plants.
You had blood spilled in the streets. Henry Ford's secret police turned on the guns and turned on the goon squad on the striking workers, and that's how dramatically Henry Ford's status changed in the working world from hero to heel.
Let me ask you to talk a little bit about the importance of innovation for the success of Ford and the sort of problems of lack of innovation when it stumbled.
You have to constantly innovate, or at least seem like you're innovating something new. Now, the Model T did not do that. I mean, Henry Ford used to say you can have it any color you want as long as it's black. He said that because black paint dried the quickest. Some of the R&D boys at Ford Motor were sneaking around Henry Ford's back trying to come up with a new vehicle. They were desperate to do away with the T. You couldn't keep it forever. It was meat and potatoes in a world that was looking for souffles in cars. So they finally came up with a prototype. Well, Henry Ford stumbled upon it and said, "What do we have here?" And they said, "Well, boss, while you were gone, we were going to show it to you." He circled it like an angry cat, grabbed a giant pickaxe, and just started ripping into it. Smashed the windshield, smashed the side. He went in a complete rage, stood on the car, and then just dropped the pick and walked away. He never liked this idea of luxury cars. That was the opposite of, say, at General Motors, where Willie Durant and Salone may have made Chevrolets, but they would always be seen driving the fanciest European cars imaginable.
And in fact, what General Motors was interested in doing, I mean, while Henry Ford was stuck on the Model T, GM had got this idea that people wanted to present themselves through their automobiles.
That's right. The GM philosophy was, look, people will pay more. They're going to want a style that makes them feel good in. And that is the trend of the modern corporations. Hence, they had so many divisions doing so many different types of cars. It was very hard for Ford Motor to catch up with GM. Henry Ford never really changed. The times changed. He had his moment when he was the cutting edge in industrial philosophy, and General Motors surpassed him, and they've been playing catch-up with GM ever since.
Douglas Brinkley, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed talking about this.
Douglas Brinkley is author of Wheels for the World, Henry Ford, His Company, and A Century of Progress. He explains how the company has managed to keep up with GM and other car companies in the modern era at npr.org.